Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White. I am your host of Keeping It Real on Purpose. And you know that we're talking with coaches. So this is a series called Real Talk with Coaches. And today we're featuring none other than Corby Furrow. Right, I got it right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So Corby is a certified executive coach. She chartered professional in human resources and EFT master trainer. She specializes in dialing up the courage in every soul she meets, one tap at a time. Armed with humor and expert strategies, she's not just coaching, she's turning a professional growth into an adventure. So welcome to the show, Corby.
Thank you, Edna. I'm so happy to be here and have a real talk with you.
Yeah, I am excited too. I incorporate dance because that's the thing I do, my coaching, right? You know, I incorporate that to my group coaching. Individually, I incorporate that, right? Okay. And now I see that you incorporate humor. Tell me what that looks like. Tell the audience what that looks like because I love it.
Yeah, I always look for parts that we can kind of laugh at or laugh with, and because humor starts to open up our nervous system, right? Because when we're so serious and doing all the work that we're doing, we often sometimes get shut down, right? Yeah. And so anytime that I can insert some humor or that we have a break, it kind of gives a person a break in a way too, to catch their breath. And so, so we'll often laugh at something or share something that's, you know, relevant to it, that kind of is humorous to the person. You know, it's not to make fun of, but it's to you know, kind of have a laugh at themselves sometimes.
I love that. I love that, that, you know, and I know humor, I always tell everyone, find a reason to laugh.
Yes.
I mean, even if it's something that's supposed to be serious, just laugh, let it out. Because as you said, we get too serious. Yes. And I find too, we get too serious and we forget even how to dance. Like,
exactly.
We used to dance when we were young, right? Yeah. We used to just dance around. We had the natural rhythm. Somewhere along the line, we lost our rhythm. Be like, what happened to us?
Exactly.
You know, what happened?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What happened? I see the dance floor doing, no matter whatever it was, I was swinging in the air. But what happened? I can't even keep a beat now.
We stop. And you know, dancing brings the smiling, which brings those good endorphins, you know. And so when we can bring the humor, it does the same thing. And fluidity and movement help us go in any direction that we want to go into.
Absolutely. So many people ask me, they know me personally, why are you still smiling? And I said, and I don't even want to answer them. If I don't smile, I'll cry, because that's not even true, you know. But I smile because that's it literally brings out the good juices, mm-hmm. and the endorphins, you can make your brain work, and then you can actually, okay, what is the answer? Or even if it takes your higher self to be above that, have faith, it actually gives you the adrenaline, mm-hmm. and to have that faith, to have the fortitude.
Absolutely. Yeah. It actually opens up what we call our window of tolerance. And so that gives us greater capacity to hold and be with what is. And that's the beauty of it, you know. And how simple is that? We forget it doesn't have to be these, you know, big things. It's like a smile, a movement, a dance. Those give us that capacity again, help you know, make us more resilient.
Yeah, and it gives us courage. You know, that smiling gives us some type of courage, man. Yes. I'll tell you. Yeah. It gives us courage. You know, it's not always, but today I was walking, right? Yeah. And so there's two gentlemen walking towards me. They were young, and you know, I'm walking by myself. So they opened up they were walking towards me. So they opened up the way for me to walk because I was exercising. And I smiled at them. Thank you for opening up the way for me. And they smiled at me and said, good morning. Like, it was the best thing ever. Yeah. But it's contagious, you know.
Absolutely.
It's completely contagious.
Yeah.
And it makes for a better person.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how simple is that? And that's that connection piece with people too. Right? Because that's what we're doing in the coaching world, is connecting. And when we have that connection, we create that safety, which allows us to grow.
Yeah. Safety is so important when it comes to coaching.
One. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have that, nobody's going to grow.
Yes. Safety is so important.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen this, and I don't know if you coach coaches.
Yes.
Well, I've seen this sometime. They always want to get to the, you know, the checkoffs, you know.
Yes.
And I said, I don't know that to be the checkoffs, you know, area. I know that discovery sometimes for me can be a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're just have to open up in order to get to that real thing that's happening,
absolutely.
You know, and it takes a while sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, and I know, you know, some coaches, they just like, okay, let me check you off here. Let me get this going. Mm-hmm. We got to get to the, you know,
yeah.
Talk about creating that safe space for those in the audience who are considering, you know, coaching, and want that, you know, talk about that safe space.
Yeah. Like most people in their life, especially when you get to a coach, haven't been listened to the way a coach will listen.
Oh, that's
you,
good.
You know, and just having somebody to hear you without bias, without interruption, without opinion is creating uh-huh. a safety that nobody has ever had. And so when we can create that space where somebody feels, okay, I feel, you know, my heart opening to your heart, that I can have this space here that we can co-create in.
Right.
Then it's like, okay, now things can drop off. We can start to see the layers. We can start to move into the things that are causing the upsets or the issues or the blocks that are in the way. But until you have that back and forth and that container built,
mm-hmm.
there won't be any growth, because people will hold back, and you have to be literally vulnerable and lay it all out on the ground and know that, you know, we're going to walk you through it. You're not alone, but you're doing the work, but we get to hold that space for you. And that's
right.
that safety piece. And that's why it is so the only way we do work and the only way people heal. And we don't really have to do anything other than hold that safe space. You know, the rest is
right.
We're just there to guide and help move things along.
Right. And that's really it. We're here to guide, because what I found out, therapy, well, of course, I as a childhood sexual abuse survivor, mm-hmm. I went to therapy. Much yeah. different.
Yeah.
Much different than coaching, okay?
Absolutely.
No, we're not going to have the answers for you. We could give you the answers.
But it's not even the right answers, you know?
But it wouldn't be our answers.
Exactly.
We need to hear your answers. You have it.
Yes.
But one thing that it taught me, the more I... You know, and I teach about talk therapy and mm-hmm. talking it out, and you soon figure it out for yourself when you talk mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I do. I add emotional freedom techniques into mm-hmm. My practice. So that's tapping on meridians. And that's
right.
why just one tap at a time is what I was saying. And that's because our emotions we can think it, but that part of us that's holding that stored emotion from the traumas, from the upsets, from whatever it is that are blocking in our body, we need
right.
some way to move that, whether it's movement, whether it's, you know, meditation, tapping,
right.
breathing exercises. We need right. something more than just the thought to help us.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Get back to it. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's very important, because, the senses, it incorporates mm-hmm. the senses. Like
yeah.
when you're creating, what it is, a vision board, mm-hmm. you just can't have it there. I'm
yeah.
telling you, it didn't work for me until I got into the car that I wanted. You know, I got mm-hmm. into the car that I wanted.
Yeah.
So it was like, then it made sense. It was,
yes.
picture was great, but then it made sense.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
talk about, you know, the tapping and how important that tapping is.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, most of us, we all know what we should do. You know, there's no doubt about it. You can talk to anybody, we can rationalize it, we can do whatever, but why aren't we doing the things, or what's stopping us, right? And so it's that gap in between there. So when we are ruminating on something and an old behavior that's happening, they're stuck energy. So by using the tapping, it starts to send the signals to the amygdala, because what, you know, we're feeling is real in that moment, even though it's not actually happening to us. And
yeah.
so by doing the tapping, it sends the signals to start calming the body, to go like, right here, right now, I'm okay.
Okay.
So we start moving that energy around. So when we think of it again, then it's like, oh, it's not quite so upsetting. And then
yeah.
it's like, oh, now I can face it and I can move through it. And
mm-hmm.
and so I find it's a really good tool when we're really stuck. You know,
right.
if our energy is moving and people are, you know, I'm getting the imagery and I'm seeing the things and I can, you know, see
yes.
where I want to go.
Yes.
It's not as necessary, but when we're stuck, this is like a workhorse tool for me that really can get people moving and off that high center.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's all important, you know.
Yes.
All the sensories are important. And, you know, I was watching my grandson because you made me think of it. And he has this thing with his shaking his leg, you know, that leg always shaking. And it drives me nuts. How do you funnel something like that? You know, how do you channel it? Can you tell us?
Well, for him, like when they move the legs, they've got excess energy that they have to move. So our bodies are always trying to help heal us. So for him, even though it's upsetting you, it's like it's his way of like anticipating. Okay. You know, he could tap on it and do different things. But with kids, they're so adept and so in tune to what their bodies need. It's us as adults that go, that's not acceptable.
Oh, okay.
Right? But it's like, what if we are like, that's okay. His body's looking after what he needs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I would have never known that.
Yeah.
Ruby, I would have never known that. Yeah. So his body is seeing about him, so I don't have to worry about it.
No, exactly. See, and what happens, usually what happens is we suppress the children, right? Mm-hmm. Stop doing that. Sit still. What are you doing, right? So then they start becoming inauthentic. So their body, I can't trust what my body's doing. So now it starts to back up. Now we start to get problems. Mm-hmm. Now we start to, you know, create a story of our life around this that I can't be who I am. And so, this will probably run its course over time, or maybe not, because maybe that's what his body needs is to just expel this extra energy that's within him.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That, oh my gosh, that audience, that makes so much sense. So stop telling people to stop doing that. Yeah. And I was like, I wouldn't tell them to stop. But I'd say, is everything okay? Because I didn't understand. I don't have it. You know, I didn't have nervous energy like that.
Yeah.
So I didn't. Is everything okay? I'm asking him. And I know he's 16, so I know I'm getting on his nerves. I'm getting on his nerves.
Yeah.
So now I understand it even more. That's tremendous. That is so good.
Yeah, he's
so
figured out a way to cope.
Yeah.
With whatever's really going on.
That's really good. Yeah. So now you got me. Now I started now. Now, okay, so now. I dabbled a little bit into tap, you know, when I'm in pain, you know, so I had a car accident and I started tapping on that pained area, you know, tapping. So it bones and all that. So I learned to tap and it literally, I'm not kidding you.
No,
I don't know why it worked, but then I started delving into what tapping is. So tapping is so important, even in draining. You know, these areas down in here, I can't even believe it. The difference, and I'm going to tell you guys, audience, maybe you could tell them better, but even, you know, here in my face, how my face changed just doing, you know, simple exercises.
Yeah.
Cream really didn't do it, but just doing simple exercises and then, you know, knowing where things are. These things, and I can't remember the name of them, but knowing that you have to drain your face and bring back
the lymphatic drains too. But when you tap on the points here, like I said, it's de-stressing because 80% of our physical, mental, and emotional issues have stress components. So when we can lower that stress, then everything else can, you know, our immune system goes up, our cortisol levels go down, our good hormones, our serotonin goes up. So it all works together so that, you know, it's not the be all end all thing, but it's a tool that we use so that other things can also work. But it's a very powerful tool.
And would you say that not every tool is for everybody?
No, and I think there's a kind of a time when you're open to it or not. You know, the good thing about EFT, you believe it or not, it will make a difference. But sometimes it makes a difference, which scares people. So then they think, oh, I can't do that because it's changing in the direction that's scary. So, but it is. Pick your tool that works for you when it works, when you're ready.
And what about if you, like, I started yoga years ago,
Yeah.
I was practicing for a while, and then I found no use for it. Does that happen, or is it because I am kind of a procrastinator of some sort?
I don't know. Like say, maybe it was suited for the time, and it's not right for you right now. You know, I think we come back to things over and over when we pick it up again.
That's
I know a lot of people like, oh, I tapped years ago, and now I'm back at it. And
life can be stressful, and it's not always easy to find balance. That's why I love ashwagandha, and it's been used for centuries to help manage stress and promote relaxation. Goalie makes wellness easy and delicious with their ashwagandha gummies. And they're America's number one ashwagandha brand, trusted by millions. They're chewable, made with high-quality ingredients, and packed with essential B vitamins so you can feel your best without any hassle. Head to Goalie.com now and get 50% off Goalie's ashwagandha gummies today only using Goalie, GOLE150. Try them risk-free with Goalie's money-back guarantee because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit Goalie.com and use code GOLE150 today.
Now, feeling because they've grown so much more, they're like, oh, now I really can get into it. And now it's a part of my life daily.
That's true. Yeah. I know that's true about, you know, I was in therapy, you know, when I was younger, several years. And then I only go back when I feel that there's, you know, there's something going on. I head back, you know, I call up, hey, I start making appointments and coming in, you know, and I've learned to. Those tools are necessary when I need them, you know, and I have to learn to recognize them with awareness.
Yes, exactly. And the other thing is too, is like, we often do it in when we're in crisis, right? Oh yeah, I got to get my tools or else we forget about it until it's after. And then, oh yeah, I got to get these in. Yes. But a lot of these we can do preventive. Like you said, you're walking, you can move your body. You know, those are preventative. Tapping daily, like on really no issue at all, because our body's like a huge
preventative.
We get that stress every day. So we can just decompress the stress without even knowing what we're doing, right? Because it's just good for us. So there's many ways to use things and there's no right or wrong. It's just like, what do we need in that moment?
So, you know, we were talking pre-show just real quickly about, we have so many similar things, which we do.
Yes.
We have so many similar things together. What is, you're an executive coach, right?
Right.
Tell us what that is.
Yeah. Well, when I started out, it, like an executive coach, you know, they look more to corporations, to leaders, to that kind of thing. Right. And so over time, I've integrated because I found EFT after I'd lost a job and started a career as a coach. I realized to me, it felt like the coaching world was missing something, which was a lot of the emotional pieces and the moving of that energy. Right. And the EFT world was kind of missing a lot of the really sitting in the coaching world. So I found that they really married and they've come a long ways. Both have come a long ways in the last 10 years. And so I really deal with, like, you know, people want to get to those goals, like I said before, but why aren't I doing it? I know all this stuff. I know what I have to do.
And
it's always tied to our history, our past in some shape or form, the learning that we said, if I do this, then that will happen. If I don't do this, you know, and so even though we know it's good for us, there's always a hesitation, right? I know for myself, like I was a director of HR, and when I got up to there, because I was a people pleaser, when I got there, I felt very exposed, very vulnerable. You know, I didn't have the tools that I have today. And so I felt that I was scared to death. You know, and I was struggling being at the top because I was always used to helping other people. Even though I had people I still had to report to, it felt very exposed. Now, given today, after I learned, you know, why I had the people pleasing and why it was scary, it would be a whole different. I'm a whole different person, and I would be able to stand in my power and do the things that I need to do, even though I was very successful. It was holding me back, you know, before I knew about all the personal work and that I had to do to uncover all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You do have to. It's a lot of work.
Yes.
And you talk about being empowered, you know, us as coaches, you know, we do give out a lot. Talk to us about, like, what do we need to do to replenish ourselves, even though we know, you know, we might specialize in one niche or another.
Yes.
You know, talk about that.
Yeah. Well, and that's such an important thing because we can only take our clients as far as we've gone. So if we're not willing to do the work or take care of ourselves, we'll find gaps in our coaching or our results at some point. And, you know, and it's a continually learning thing for me too, because I was, you know, I'm a recovering people pleaser. So it's like everybody else's needs were always before mine. And so now to put mine first, it is important, because when you're a coach, you're your own business. You're the person giving out the energy. So if you don't protect that, which is a healthy boundary, right, and can respect that, because when you're in that flow, you can go really easily without getting burnt out. But when you're not, you're going to get burnt out. You'll get sick. You have to
definitely burnt out. Definitely.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. take the time to honor, you know, prepare your space, take the time to prepare you, mm-hmm. make sure you've got enough rest, healthy stuff going on. Because it is important, because you have to show up so that you can be a clean vessel, I guess, to take in the information of the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You definitely have to renew yourself. Balance is so important, and I know that people always say, you know, I don't have enough time in the day, and I find that time management is so very important.
Yes, and it's hard. Well, I found it a hard transition, you know, from when I went to from corporate to it's free. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me something, you know. Time management is a thing, but the beautiful thing is once you kind of get onto it, it's like we have more than enough time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes, I am learning that now, Corbin. Yeah. I can't believe I'm learning that now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am not busy. Like when you start to, I don't use the word busy anymore, because that just means just like, I used to do it all the time. Yeah. I used to take papers from one side of the thing exactly. and put it on the other side. And that was, you know, it was like, I really didn't do anything. So I started time managing. To me is if I had 5 things I had to do and I did 2, guess what I did? I did enough, you know, I did enough and I did it well. Yeah. So I was happy about that. But I trauma taught me I had to be busy all the time.
Absolutely. It's a protection.
Trauma tricked me into just moving all the time, doing things for people. Trauma tricked me into people pleasing. And then I couldn't get out. Well, I had to resign. Yeah. I had to resign.
Yeah. But it's not even tricking. Trauma is saving your life by keeping you busy. Right. Yeah. And then when you get to a place where this isn't saving my life anymore.
Oh, it's like, actually killing me.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is so true. And that's, you know, those are things that we need. And we often hear people, you know, say, oh, I have to, you know, get rid of it and be angry at it or something. And it's like, no, it's like love that piece of you because it was absolutely necessary. Yeah. And you learned important skills around that you take with
absolutely.
You. But we need to just let go of the ones that are holding us anchored into that past. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like you said, it's difficult to transition to that. Mm-hmm. So when you're as a coach yourself, the techniques that you're teaching, you know, your clients, you're either learned or teaching yourself. Because 100%, it's always a learning process, right?
Yeah. And so often you get clients that are it's like, oh, actually, yeah, I'm actually coaching myself and you're just here to help me get healed.
That's true. You're often coaching yourself.
Yeah.
So as I'm designing my life and creating my business, you know, so I had to pivot my business to a different, you know, arena, not a different arena, but a more focused arena because, you know, the times were changing. So I pivoted, right? And so I got some assistance. You know, I had a couple of interns and a VA assistant. So, and now I'm looking around and I'm saying, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Free time. And then I'm sitting there, well, what am I doing wrong, right? I'm saying, what am I doing wrong that I'm not busy? Like when I am busy, it's not like, it's not hard. When I have the calls, when I have my calls, not hard, happens great. Everything is opening up. Opportunities are flowing. You know, clients are getting their, you know, their release or whatever they need. And then I have times I'm sitting there, well, now what do I do now?
Like, I know. And we think that that's bad.
Yeah.
Because we're so, it's got to be filled.
Oh my gosh.
No, you know, we're so conditioned and it's like, no, this is the purpose of it. This is the purpose
of winding yourself. Oh my gosh, yes.
Now you can go dance. Now you can go do something
else. Now I can go dance and now I can do those.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you know, it's not always about, going to spend money or anything like that. It's just literally now I can walk. Now I can go, just drive down to the beach. Yeah. Now I can just sit and just,
or just do sit.
Nothing.
Yes.
Do nothing.
Yes.
Or read a book. Nothing, like nothing.
It's so key. Yes. People, we've been taught that doing nothing is lazy. And it's doing nothing is recharging, is regenerating, is getting to know yourself.
Yes.
And it's like, but it still has that stigma on it.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Now you said something that now I want to go to this sleeping, sleep. And I know you have some, how important, and I was just telling my granddaughter this today, sleep is very important, and trauma tricks us out of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets into us. And I remember I wasn't sleeping. Like I would say to myself, I'll wake up, right? Let's say 2:30. Oh, I must've had enough sleep. And I would trick myself into, and yeah, I was
no good
during the day.
No.
Right. And I wasn't thinking. I was literally my brain couldn't, I would speak a word and I'd be like, no, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
And I would trick myself. The trauma would trick me to say, oh no, you had enough sleep. Don't worry about it. But it's really, I'm missing something when I don't sleep. Talk about needing to sleep and how you can tap into it to get back to sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as we know, our brain needs to rest, our body needs to rest. And, I don't know, what is the ideal, because everybody does have an idea. Like for me, when people say, 7-8 hours, but for me, it's always been 6 hours. I feel that. And so I think it's like, you get to know your body. Yeah. We need more than a couple hours for sure.
Absolutely.
So what we do is, because a good practice before you go to bed is actually doing a round of tapping and stuff, because it calms our body and gets our body ready. And when you actually wake up in the night, because tapping can, if it's physical, so it's like that might wake you up. So a good thing, and you can actually think tap on the points. And so just laying there,
that's good.
It works really well because, our brain doesn't know whether it's physical or not. Like that's the power of our mind, right? So it takes some practice, but you can actually do that to start to just calm your body again, or to stop all the chatter that's going on, or another practice is, think about putting it. It's like, okay, brain, I'm going to put you over there so that I can sleep, it's like, that I need to have this sleep. But there's always subtle things we can do just to get that relaxation going and stop that cage from running away with us with all the things that we might have to do the next day.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So tell us what's going on in Saskatchewan, Canada. What's going on there? What's going on?
The wind is going on and fire and all kinds of things. But
how's the weather? I just was there. Not in Saskatchewan, but in
Mississauga?
Mississauga.
In Ontario?
Yes.
Mississauga.
So I was just there and in May, but it was okay. It wasn't cold or anything. It was good. And I was like, oh, this is just like New York. I don't, I was like looking for something like, totally different. It's not.
Here you get like a lot of wind, like 50, 60, 70 kilometer an hour winds. It's a lot. And we've just been having a heat wave, 30 to 36, which is very hot for us. So it's up and down that way. So I just moved from Alberta, which is similar weather, but not.
Yeah. One of my co-teachers lives there. They live in Alberta. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So what do you got going on that, our audiences can tap into?
Yeah. They can tap into. Yeah. Coming up in the fall, I do actually teach tapping for people who are interested in it. So that starts in September. And then the next stage after that is people who want to become practitioners and add it to their coaching business. Well, actually level 1 and 2, you can start adding it to your coaching business as another tool. Right. Yeah. And so that's why I like to offer that. And I've got some workshops that are coming up in August. And there's just... It's kind of quiet over the summer, but still going on.
And I know it's easy to get in touch with you. What's your website?
It's radiantcoresolutions.com.
Say that one more time.
RadiantCoreSolutions.com.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. That sounds good to me. Well, Corby, we want to thank you for being here. I really got something out of it, and I know my audience got something out of it. Is there a last remarks or something you just want to say, you need to say to them? Because I know that you probably have something. So just give us.
I think, you know, at the end of the day, when anybody's thinking about coaching or healing or growing, it's like you were always enough and you always are. And it's just finding that so that you believe it again.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, audience, this has been really, really good. And I'm loving the idea of tapping. I'm loving it all. Putting it back in. I guess this is my reminder.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it back in. Put it back into the repertoire of tools for me to meditate and to make my life better. Yeah. Thank you so much, Corby Farrell, for being here. And this is your host, Edna White. And my esteemed guests, we're going to say goodbye for now. Bye.
Bye.